So we've got about a half hour left with you on KCMO Talk Radio in Kansas City. I'm Pete Mundo. We are on Radio Row in Washington, D.C. for the 14th annual Hold Their Feet to the Fire event. And 2 years ago, we had on our next guests, John and JoBeth Ladd. They are Arizona cattle ranchers right on the border. And first off, thank you for being here, both of you. Take us through exactly where your ranch is and how things have changed in the last 7-8 months or so.
Well, thanks for having us. We're in the southeast corner of Arizona, about 30 miles from the New Mexico state line.
Okay.
But our south fence is the border. And in Donald Trump's 4 years, they were catching about 20 a month. And since Biden's been here, overnight, they're 50 a day.
So you went from 20 a month to 50 a day on your property.
Right.
And how much land do you have down there?
We have 16,000 acres and 10.5 miles of the border.
My goodness. So, JoBeth, what is this, from your perspective, in terms of what this has brought to your property, some of the crime concerns and things like that, what has that been like for you?
Well, it is a concern. They cut the fences. Cows get out. Just recently, somebody hit a cow on the road because the illegals had cut the fence.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a fun way to live. I don't live in fear, but you're concerned about it. You know, you keep your doors locked even if you're at home.
Mm-hmm.
The doors are locked all the time.
What? How long have you been there?
Well, my family's been there 126 years.
126 years.
I'm fourth generation.
So you're fourth generation.
We've got six generations involved with
it. So how has this issue in particular, illegal immigration, progressed from, I mean, however long you can go back in the family lore to where we are today?
Well, up until when it started was when President Reagan gave amnesty.
Okay.
That's what started the invasion.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, you'd have two or three guys a month that wouldn't come work, and we'd hire them.
Yeah.
And they work good, they work cheap, and we've sponsored three guys to be citizens over the years. They want to be Americans.
Yeah.
In the early 90s is when it got out of control, and they were catching 200 to 300 a day on us back then.
Wow.
And they, over 30 years, they've caught 500,000 people.
On your property?
On our ranch.
Yeah. You used to be able to sit in the kitchen and just see a group of 10, 20 traipsing across. It was just
so you'd be sitting there eating morning
unreal.
Breakfast, having a cup
yes.
of coffee?
Yes.
Right by the house?
Right by the house.
Oh, yeah.
And where were they? Were they going to Tucson? Where were they going?
Back then, most of them were going to Chicago.
How were they getting there?
They get picked up at the highway, and then they take them to the airport and fly them.
So was it a coordinated deal? They had people here pick them up in outside of Bisbee,
yes.
Arizona?
Sure. Yeah. It wasn't controlled by the cartel back then, but it is now.
Has the cartel thing changed anything that you've noticed in terms of how things are
very
handled?
Sophisticated.
Yeah.
And it's working for them.
Yeah.
They're $6,000 a person now to get them across the border.
Okay.
People coming from Tucson or Phoenix to pick them up, American citizens, they get $1,000 a head.
The American citizens do?
Yeah.
So they're showing up not on your property, I guess, but in your neck of the woods down in Bisbee.
Well, right along the highway.
Right along the highway, which borders up to your property?
Yes, yes.
Cell phone?
It's only, in some spots of the ranch, it's only 3 miles from the border to Highway 92, and that's where they pick them up. So it's a fairly easy trek for them to get picked up on the highway.
Yeah, 45-minute to an hour walk or so, depending on what you got with you.
Yeah.
Okay, so they get picked up there then. So you have Trump's border walls literally on your property.
We do.
And now they're cutting through it or they're jumping over it. I mean, it looks pretty sophisticated, so they're still getting through it and over it.
Yeah, and it works.
Yeah.
Biden shut down any further construction on the border project. We got lucky and got the wall up, but the road and the technology involved isn't done. And with the amount of people coming, Border Patrol is now processing it. The majority of the Border Patrol is at the station. They're not being able to patrol.
Mm-hmm.
So there could be 2 or 3 hours that Border Patrol doesn't have visual up on the border.
Okay.
And that's how they'll cut the bottom part of the bollard that's steel with concrete in it. They use a torch, beat the concrete out, have a hole you can crawl through, then put the piece back in so nobody can see it. And if that doesn't work, they got a 30-foot ladder.
30-foot ladder.
Yeah, and they climb to the top and then rope down.
What, are they carrying a 30-foot ladder across Mexico?
No, they have a truck. There's a road on the
south
side.
Okay,
so they bring a truck in. We call it the ladder crew.
Yeah.
And they've got a pickup, and it's got that extension ladder in it.
How do they get down the other side once they get 30 feet up?
Rope
it down.
Yep.
So you could go down to your south property, and you could see this all day, every day.
Sure.
Wow. John and Joe Beth Ladder joining us. They are Arizona cattle ranchers on KCMO Talk Radio in Kansas City. So when you've been living with this, right, which you have been for your entire lifetime, but now these last 7-8 months, you're seeing a major uptick. Have you reached out to Border? What is your process to try to stem this on your property in particular, and has you had any success doing it?
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
The success is that there's a movement among the country sheriffs.
Okay.
And we believe that the sheriff, who is the ultimate law enforcement in our county,
mm-hmm.
because the federal government isn't paying any attention, that should go to the sheriffs.
Okay.
That's a success we've had.
But they're strapped, I'm sure, for resources
sure.
too,
oh,
right?
Yeah. You bet.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of sheriffs here. They're right at the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they got involved is all the drugs coming through the southern borders going to their towns.
Yeah.
The overdoses, fentanyl. Yeah. It's. But I personally think that is the answer, because I don't believe the feds are going to do anything, at least for 3 years.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter about midterms or anything else. It is what it is.
Yeah.
So we're completely dependent on the sheriffs.
Wow. What's this been, Joe Beth? You married into this.
Yes.
Right? I don't know if you have any experience before, but you married into this.
No, I grew up in Phoenix.
Okay. So this was a totally different world for you.
Yes.
So, you know, I don't know how long you two have been together, but what's this been like for you, just kind of living through this, you know, looking out if you want to, and just seeing basically legal aliens walking right across your property?
It's a shock, because you think, you know, when you live out there, you're not going to get people just coming
yeah.
through willy-nilly. And it's really kind of sad that we got used to getting calls, you know, 2 a.m, 3 a.m, saying, you know, Border Patrol had a group by our house. And so that it got to where usually when the phone rings, you know, late at night like that, you think, oh, somebody you know has been in an accident. But it got so commonplace that you just went, oh, it must be Border Patrol again.
Yeah. And they would
and
just call you to alert you,
yes,
hey, we're here.
Yes.
Yeah, it's courtesy
it's
call.
Sad.
I mean, you know, they're looking out. You know, John, you know, this is what's going on.
Wow.
And, you know, I'm proud of Border Patrol. We've had our moments as though I've let them on the ranch for 30 years.
Yeah.
Give them access. But, you know, they're in a tough position, because I believe Border Patrol could control the whole southern border if Washington would let them. I
yeah.
really believe that.
And they seem genuine about obviously wanting to do it.
Absolutely.
But now they're strapped for resources
yep.
too, right?
Yep.
That seems to be a major problem.
You got it.
So when they catch them on your property, where do they go? Where do they send them?
Well, right now, when they catch them, they process them. It's like a little background check.
Okay.
And then write up the location, where they're from, if they have a name or whatever. Mm-hmm. If they don't have a serious felony in the U.S., they deport them immediately back into Mexico. And then that Title 42 was because of COVID.
Yes.
So they could send them right back too. If they have a serious felony, there's 75 federal court hearings a day in Tucson.
Okay.
So if it's a murder or something serious, they bus them up to Tucson and put them on trial.
Wow.
And that's what's going on.
Have you seen, Joe Beth, more children in this?
No, we don't see any kids.
Okay.
They're all males, like 18 to 30, 40 years old. All males. They're not, you know.
Is that because the children, that's a harder part of the border for them to get children across? Or is that just your experience has been mostly single males?
Yeah, that's all we've had lately. That's years ago, like when we first moved back, we did see families. Not really very many children, but mm-hmm. we'd see
families.
Women and men and, you know, families. But now it's men. They're probably either cartel members or wannabe cartel, gang members.
You gonna keep doing this? How much are you gonna pass it on to the next generation?
Yeah.
You guys gonna keep rolling?
You bet. Yeah.
Kids want to do it?
Yep.
Good.
No, that's
good.
Our legacy. And
good.
I don't know how to do anything.
Oh.
What?
Could be on radio. I think you're good. You're good.
I think the wall has a lot to do with the family units and kids not coming through us.
Oh, okay. Okay. Because of, it is harder to get up or over or underneath.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, I've been a fan of the wall.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of money. It might not be attractive looking, but it works. And it slows people down enough that Border Patrol can catch it.
Did you have anything before the wall, a little fence or anything?
We had a 7-strand barbed wire fence.
Okay, so
and
not much.
The government owned it. And,
oh, really? Yeah. So they put that up.
And that was for livestock going back and
forth. So that was a livestock thing. It wasn't a human thing, obviously.
That's right.
And that's all it was.
That's all it was.
So you've got, how many miles along the border do you have?
10.5.
And all of that is covered by wall?
Yes, sir.
Did you get lucky with that, or did you have to apply for it? How did that work?
No, I knew the contractor a little bit, but they started in three areas down in our county.
Yeah.
One was east of us, one was west of us, and then the middle.
Yeah.
And we had our 10 miles and probably another 33 miles that they got completed.
Okay.
In the middle. And
wow.
That's why they started. And I leased them property for the laydown area where they staged everything.
Okay.
And that helped, too.
Yeah. So,
but we had the wall complete by December of last year.
Okay.
And then they were working on the rest of it and got shut down.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. So. Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you both for being here, sharing your story with Kansas City. John and Joe Beth Ladd, Arizona Cattle Ranchers, right there on the border. Thank you so much for both
Thanks
of your time.
Thanks for having us.
You
Thanks.
Bet.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.